Our Bible reading is from the New Testament book of Luke. From chapter 2, we will read verses 21 through 38. In the New King James Version Pew Bible, we're on page 1461. Before we read, let us pray. Speak, Lord, for your servants listen. Amen. Luke 2:21. And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angels before Jesus was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of Mary's purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought Jesus to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to Simeon by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So Simeon came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, Simeon took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and Jesus' mother marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke to him, to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. A baby changes everything. Just ask the men in Bret Hart's short story, The Luck of Roaring Camp. For a name like Roaring Camp, the 1850 gold mining camp was relatively quiet. The ditches and the claims were deserted. Tuttle's grocery with its usual poker game was empty. Picks, pans, and revolvers were silent. The whole camp was collected before a crude cabin on the outer edge of the clearing. Conversation was carried on in a low tone. The name most mentioned was Cherokee Sal. She was going to bring about a never-before-happening in Roaring Camp. A baby was about to be born. Despite the excitement, there was some apprehension. There was no midwife, nary a woman, in camp. Among the dubious residents, the 100 men were 1 or 2 fugitives from justice, a criminal or two, an assortment of gamblers, and a host of reckless men. It was Kentuck who made the proposal, and it was decreed unanimous by this odd city of refugees that Stumpy was chosen to be the midwife. He had, after all, at one time been the head of a family. Stumpy wisely bowed to the majority. He went inside the cabin and closed the door. One wonders whether Cherokee Sal looked out her window and saw the moon rising over the valley between the 2 hills and a river as she used her last remaining strength to bring new life into this world. Above the swaying and moaning pines, the swift rush of the river, and the crackling of the fire rose a sharp, never before heard in the camp cry. Suddenly, all of nature went silent. The men rose to their feet as one. Not long afterwards, Cherokee Sal climbed, as it were, that old rugged road to the stars. All bets were on one question. Can the baby boy live now? Stumpy said, Gentlemen, please pass in at the front door, round the table, and out the back door. Them that wishes to contribute anything toward the orphan will find a hat handy. With hats in hand, one by one, the campers passed by to pay their respects to Sal and get a gander at the baby swathed in red flannel and lying in a candle box on a pine table. Next to the box was the hat. An odd assortment of comments were made about the baby, and an odd assortment of gifts were collected in the hat. There were such things as a silver tobacco box, a navy revolver, a very beautifully embroidered lady's handkerchief, a diamond pin and ring, a slingshot, a Bible, a golden spur, a silver teaspoon. Regrettably, the initials were not the givers. A pair of surgeon's shears, a Bank of England 5-pound note, and $200 in loose gold and silver coin. What should be done with these freely given contributions for the baby? Finally, it was decided that because they didn't trust any other camp nor any females who might come to a place like Roaring Camp, they decided to care for the baby themselves. Thanks to Stumpy and a female donkey, there was the possibility. Perhaps it was the climate of the Sierra foothills, or the donkey's milk, or the care of Stumpy, or the bumbling well-wishers of the camp, or tender grace from above. Whatever it was, the child thrived. It was decided the name was in order. Well, superstitious as generally gamblers and adventurers are, it was declared that the kid had brought luck to Roaring Camp. For ease, he would be called Tommy. To give little Tommy a fresh start, a day was set for the christening. When the serious sacrament almost became an event of blasphemous satire, Stumpy reined it back in with these words, "I proclaim you Thomas Luck, according to the laws of the United States and the state of California, so help me God." Maybe it was a reverential use of the name God, but a work of regeneration began in Roaring Camp. The cabin of Tommy Luck was cleaned, whitewashed, and papered. Funds were used to purchase a rosewood cradle, which made all the other furniture look so bad that another 80-mile trip was taken for new items. There was also stricter habits of cleanliness. Only those who had a clean face, hands, and shirt could hold the Luck. Likewise, language, content, and volume was monitored. Long lullabies sang by an English sailor from Australia became the preferred style of music. The whole camp was soothed. On summer days, the Luck lay on a blanket by the gulch while men worked. Nature, with soft grasses and animals and birds, were helping to nurture the baby. It seemed the camp was in a season of flush times. As the camp prospered, there arose a desire for further improvement. They proposed to build in the spring a hotel and invite one or two decent families to reside for the sake of Tommy. Then the story takes an unusual twist with an abrupt end. In the winter of 1851, the snow lay deep and every creek became a river and every river a lake. Each gorge and gulch was transformed into a tumultuous watercourse descending down hillsides, tearing down giant trees, and scattering debris along the plain. Late one night, the North Fork leaped over its banks and swept up the triangular valley of Roaring Camp. Little could be done to gather the scattered camp. When morning broke, the cabin of Stumpy, nearest the riverbank, was gone. They found his body, but the pride, the hope, the joy, the Luck of Roaring Camp had disappeared. They were returning with sad hearts when a shout from the bank recalled them. It was a relief boat from down the river. They had picked up, they said, a man and an infant. It was Kentuck, lying there cruelly crushed and bruised, but holding the Luck of Roaring Camp in his arms. As they bent over, they saw that the child was cold and lifeless. "He is dead," whispered one. Kentuck opened his eyes. "Dead?" he repeated feebly. "Yes, my man, and you are dying too." A smile lit the eyes of the expiring Kentuck. "Dying," he repeated, "he's taking me with him. Tell the boys I've got the Luck with me now." The strong man clinging to the frail babe is a drowning man is said to cling to a straw drifted away into the shadowy river that flows forever to the unknown sea. At first, I was turned off by the end of the story. I savor the days of a royal flush and steps of regeneration. I like the idea that a baby makes us want to do better. I love the thought that once we began to improve, to make strides, to become morally and spiritually mature, more like Jesus. However, more than luck and improvement, there is a need for redemption. I see parallels to the story of Jesus. The baby Jesus will change everything. But even at his birth, we find out that it's more than a baby that changes everything. Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple to present him to the Lord. They made a sacrifice of a pair of turtle doves or possibly two pigeons. Simeon, a devout man, was led by the Spirit into the temple. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had seen the Lord's Christ. He had waited a long time. When Simeon saw Jesus, he took him up in his arms and he blessed God, saying, "Lord, you're letting your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, glory to your people Israel." Joseph and Mary marveled at those things which were spoken of Jesus. Simeon blessed them. He also gave Mary a prophetic preview of what salvation will be like. A sword will pierce through your soul also. Anna, an 84-year-old widow, spent her days and nights fasting and praying in the temple. She saw Jesus and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. The song One Day takes us through the life of Jesus as it pertains to our salvation. Here are some of the words. One day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin. One day they nailed him to die on the tree, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. One day the grave could conceal him no longer, then he arose over death he had conquered. One day the trumpet will sound for his coming, wonderful day my beloved one's bringing. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified freely forever. One day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Not every day seems good, but every day has good in it. Let us look for the good in each and every day that God gives us to see the good of God. Let us look for the tender grace of each and every day. Jesus has come, Jesus comes, Jesus is coming. By the grace of God, it is all good in Jesus Christ, for we have Jesus with us. Let us pray. Loving God, we thank you for the gift of salvation through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. May we live each day with hope, peace, joy, and love, knowing it is all good in Jesus Christ. Amen.